the majority of counties in this country have declared that they are not going to enforce state and federal gun laws. They have decided that they are going to essentially refuse to implement laws that are on the books. That is a growing problem in this country. And I think we're going to have a conversation about that in the United States Senate. Do we want to continue to supply funding to law enforcement in counties that refuse to implement state and federal gun laws?
Okay. All right. More empty suit talking heads. Unless you're in law enforcement, and you put on the uniform every day and you go out and do the job, shut up. All right? And I know I'm going to get tons of email, Rick, you shouldn't be talking about this because you're not fair and balanced. Yeah, I come from a law enforcement family. I was the black sheep and went to law school. But, you know, this is just so damn simple. If you take away law enforcement, what happens? You create a void. And the void is generally and more often filled with something that's not in your best interest. You see it overseas in the military. You see it at home. All of these people, Minneapolis and all the rest, we're going to defund the cops. We don't like cops. Okay, now what are they doing? They're trying to scramble to get law enforcement back, because they've got homicide rates that are breaking historical records. And I know we've seen a ton of these shootings at Walmart in Virginia, the LGBTQ ABC nightclub in Colorado Springs. I get all that. I understand that. But man, you've got to screw your head on straight. You truly do. With me is Sergeant Betsy Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, to talk about Senator Chris Murphy calling for police departments who don't enforce federal state gun laws to be defunded. You know, I wish that had never come up. But, of course, the community organizers needed something to gin up the constituency, and that's where it came from. Sergeant, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me to talk about this. And you know, when we're talking about Senator Murphy, he loves to pontificate about firearms, even though his knowledge of them is extremely limited, as is his knowledge of where federal funding comes from for law enforcement. So, you know, this is you know, remember the Democrats just spent the last 6 months trying to walk back that defund the police talk. And now that the midterm election's over, I guess at least Senator Murphy feels he can go back to it. But like you said, this is a lot of empty talk, and he really doesn't have the authority to do this, and he knows that.
Yeah, number one, you're right. He doesn't have the authority. Number two, if he's got nothing else to do but deal with things he has no authority in, then maybe, you know, his position is not needed. You know, I talked to my son-in-law the other night. He's a sergeant with a police department, a canine division, and in that particular department, sergeants trade off with lieutenants and running the squad. But, you know, we were talking about the defund this and the defund that. It seems like every time these so-called air quotes here, community organizers want to get the base ginned up, they go out and start talking about defund police, you know, this particular issue or that isolated issue. I mean, when are we gonna get this straight? Without law enforcement, you have pure, simple anarchy. Who the hell wants to live with that?
Well, and that's the problem with the defund the police movement. I think people have seen this now since, you know, this kind of started in 2014 with Ferguson, and then, of course, really got ramped up after the death of George Floyd in 2020. But what have we seen in the United States in the last 2.5 years of defund the police? It's cause and effect. We have out of control violent crime rates all around this country. And now we're talking about these mass shootings that, you know, we've had several that have been very notorious in the media. a couple of things. Let's look at the perspective here. These mass shootings account for less than 1% of all homicides in this country. So while, yes, they make the media, let's talk about the families in Philadelphia and Seattle and Los Angeles and my native Chicago and New York City who are losing family member after family member week after week over gun violence. And then what happens to those suspects? Very often, absolutely nothing happens. How do we solve gun crime? We put people in prison for committing gun violence. Several of these most notorious recent shooters should have been in prison, including the Colorado Springs LGBTQ plus AI, whatever, shooter. If he would have been in prison for the crimes he committed last year, he wouldn't have been able to commit this horrific crime. And I could go on and on and on about so many of these mass shooters.
You know, in Colorado Springs, I mean, you don't have to be a super sleuth to figure this out. This guy had previous run-ins with law enforcement, and no records anywhere indicated either police or relatives tried to trigger Colorado's red flag law or anything else. The guy should have been in jail or under the jail. I mean, obviously, if there's no consequence for action, look for more and more and more of the action to be committed by these bad people. I mean, this isn't, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. If you do something bad that reaches a certain level, you know, you need to go to jail. We've got all these DAs out here that I'm not exactly sure what they're about. We had the same thing here. They just recently changed their position. We called him Let Him Go Creuzot, where he said we're not going to prosecute any theft of $750 or below. Well, basically, you just told all the shoplifters, you know, steal $749 worth and you get a free pass. They finally, after a year or so, changed that. But what needs to happen from law-abiding citizens' perspective? What needs to happen for this to go away?
A couple of things need to happen. People need to understand, and you just brought it up, that it's the prosecutors who determine what happens to people who get arrested. For example, in Colorado Springs, the police arrested that shooter a year ago when he took his mom hostage, held them at bay. They arrested him, but for some reason, the prosecutor's office opted not to prosecute him for any of his crimes. That's why he was out and about. This happens over and over and over again. People need to understand they elect those prosecutors, and so they need to be loud about telling those prosecutors, we want you to prosecute crimes, prosecute those felonies, and then they need to get on their police leaders to say, look, we want you to stand up, support the men and women who are on the streets doing the job, and we want our police departments to get back to enforcing the law. You can't have policing without law enforcement. We've got to let cops do their jobs, and we've got to make this profession attractive again to young people, because we have record retirements, record resignations, and I'm sure your son-in-law will tell you this, we can't get kids to come test for this job because we've been told for 2.5 years, cops are racist, cops are bad, cops are dirty. So there's a lot that needs to happen, and the American public can do it. It's going to be a grassroots effort, but they've got to get loud about it. You can't sit back anymore and just say, well, somebody needs to do something.
Sergeant Betsy Spith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, appreciate your time, and you know, hopefully we can talk again soon about something productive happening.
I hope so, because this is a fixable problem, and Americans need to take charge of it.
Amen to that. We appreciate it very, very much.